lesson this morning. I want to just take a minute on behalf of my family and thank every one of you. The cards that were sent on behalf of Kelly's, the passing of Kelly's grandmother, Kathy's mother, for our family, those cards were very thoughtful and meaningful to us. We appreciate the prayers, everybody that sent food and just encouraged our family. We appreciate it. As you know, those are challenging times for any family when you lose the people that you love. So we appreciate that. The funeral was on Friday, and that was the same day that we were all heading down as a group to go to Lads to Leaders down in Castle Rock, where we were going to compete. As you know, we've been preparing all year for Lads to Leaders. Do This in Remembrance of Me was the theme. And so my family, we were on our way that afternoon after the funeral, Kelly and I and the kids, down to Castle Rock. And we hit rush hour traffic. Not only that, but there was a storm that had come through. And so it was pouring down rain. And it took close to 3 hours for us to get down there. So, you know, Castle Rock's really not that far, but nearly 3 hours. We were exhausted, tired. I'm going to tell a little story about myself before we dive right into our lesson. But I was exhausted that day. And we arrived at the hotel. Our room's on the second floor, and I'm in the elevator by myself, and I'm just ready to go to bed. So I get in the elevator, and door shuts. I push the button, the door opens. Well, I didn't think anything of it. Door shuts again. I push the button, door opens again. Don, I don't go anywhere. Well, I won't tell you how long this happened, okay? But for a few minutes, I kept wondering, what's going on? I'm getting mad now. I'm tired. I'm upset. I want to go to bed. Great. Stacy picked us a hotel that has an elevator that doesn't work. But all these things going through my mind. Well, it dawned on me that for about 3 minutes or so, I had been pushing the first floor. And the problem was, I was on the first floor. And so I learned a valuable lesson. You can't get to the second floor by pushing floor number one, right? There's got to be a lesson somewhere in there. Our youth, I just want to, just for a moment, I want to touch on Lads to Leaders here, if I can get this up. Whatever reason right now. Give me just a second here. There we go. I just want to kind of touch on the week, and everybody worked so hard. These kids poured their time, their energy in it. You'll notice the kids up there, there's a lot of pictures, but I only wanted to share two just to remind us of what happened this last couple of weeks, and just to thank everyone who worked so hard. Our kids represented us so well, church. They really did. And it was amazing. I can't tell you all of the adults that came to me, and I know they came to others that were there on behalf of our congregation, just thanked us for being kind of helping as the forerunners to get Lads to Leaders going, to get it started for the first time in Colorado. This year was the first year. Every kid worked hard. Every kid won in their competition from first to third place. There were multiple trophies. But what impressed me more than anything wasn't the competition, wasn't the fact that they won trophies and all that, but the way they handled it and their example and the growth in these kids. And it was such an incredible week. I do want to take a minute. Also, everybody, I can't mention every name, but every teacher, every leader, every person who prayed, encouraged our kids, the helpers, the judges, those that helped us with food, those that made crafts and helped us through the year. Thank you, because the work that we're doing in Lads to Leaders is a great work. And you're a part of that work, and we appreciate it. Sunday morning kind of topped it off after Lads to Leaders was over. That Sunday morning, Well, actually, that Saturday, one of the elders from Castle Rock had come to Cameron, and their preacher, Matthew Marine, some of you might know Matthew, great preacher, and they asked Cameron if he would lead the communion talk. You know, he had delivered his speech, and they said, well, we would like you to lead the Lord's Supper Sunday morning. So that Sunday morning in Castle Rock, our very own Cameron led us in the Lord's table. And I know he's my son, so I brag on him for that reason. But I will say this. Anybody who was there, I think, would say the same thing. It wouldn't matter who it was. He did a great job. And a really super job of directing our mind. It was a mini sermon. As I said, the theme was do this in remembrance of me. So he had prepared his lesson for that very topic, and he was able to deliver it for a few minutes to lead us in the Lord's Supper. It was an outstanding week and an outstanding weekend. But where do we go from here? I want to introduce you to something that is, you've heard me talk a little about this before, this idea of intergenerational faith. Or you could call it intergenerational church life. Or you could call it even the idea of multi-generations. That's what the church is, isn't it? We can't avoid this. We can't get away from this. Just as our family and our home life is about the different generations trying to live and work together, it's no different in the church. It's about the generations learning to live for God and work and to grow together. So I want to talk about intergenerational faith. It's not original to me. I got a lot of these ideas from some of the ideas from others like Matthew Marine. Also, I put it into our own words to fit our own congregation. But you've heard so often from the pulpit the importance of relationships. Because we are a relational people, a building of relationships from the inside out. You've heard that talk. You've heard a lot. You've heard me emphasize the church as a family. We are not only the people of God, but we are the family of God. And that means that there are different generations within this family of God. I love this simple quote from the preacher's homiletical commentary, where the writer said that the Israelites were distinctly, listen to the wording here, and repeatedly commanded to impart religious knowledge to their children. Israel, as we go back and study their history, repeatedly God commanded this. That the older generation, specifically the fathers and the men, right? Women did that too, we know that. But specifically the fathers and the men were to repeatedly and distinctly impart religious knowledge to their children. To the other generations, and you know this is true, church. We've studied this time and again. That their responsibility was to communicate a knowledge of God's wondrous works. What wondrous works has God has done? Well, they were to communicate those words. They were to communicate God's judgments. They were to communicate God's teachings and the warnings of evil, of sin and the trap of idolatry that the Israelites would fall time and a time and time again under that, into that trap. And for what purpose? What was the purpose of all this imparting of God's knowledge and His wondrous work? I think it's simply this, multi-generational faithfulness. That's what I think. I think it truly, when you study God's history, Israel's history, it is about the faithfulness of His people. It's about His people from the beginning to end of every generation living by faith. And if you don't believe that, let's turn over quickly for a moment to Psalm chapter 70, Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And if you just want to hear me read this, that's great. You could listen or just follow along. But I want you to listen to everything in your mind that the psalmist brings out concerning the generations. Concerning not only the generations, but multi-generations. Psalm 78. The psalmist says, "Listen, O my people, to my instructions. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and notice, our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children. We won't keep them to ourselves. We won't hide them from our children. We'll tell the wondrous works of God." I added that right there. "But tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works which he has done." There it is. "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach their children, that the generation to come," notice, "the generation to come might know," and then he carries it even further, "even the children yet not born." Before they're even conceived, God's desire is multi-generational faithfulness. Not just the faithfulness of one generation, but of every generation. Verse 7, why? "That they should put their confidence in God." That's how we're going to put our confidence in God. We're going to hear about the wondrous things of God. We're going to believe in those wondrous things, and they're going to guide our lives. "And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Verse 8, and here's where it gets pretty sad in Israel's history. "And not like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation." Notice, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not, here it is, faithful to God. It really comes down to faithfulness. God desiring generational faithfulness. Now, we're going to carry that a little further with the question why. And sometimes I know I can be frustrated at times when I hear specific generations always just talking about themselves when it isn't just about one generation. But why should we think along these lines and focus on multi-generational faith? I couldn't say it better than the words of Charles Swindoll in The Finishing Touch. Listen to the sentiment of this. "Nobody is a whole chain. Each one is a link. But you take away one link, and the chain is broken. Nobody's a whole team. Each one is a player. But take away one player, and the game is forfeit. Nobody is a whole orchestra. Each one is a musician. But you take away one musician, and the symphony is incomplete." You guessed it. We need each other. You need someone. Someone needs you. Isolated islands we are not. To make this thing called life work, I love this, we gotta lean and support and relate and respond, and give and take, and confess and forgive, and reach out and embrace, and release, and rely. Since none of us is a whole, independent, self-sufficient, super capable, all-powerful hotshot, let's quit acting like we are. Life's lonely enough without our playing that silly role. The game's over. Let's link up. I think Swindoll's sentiment there answers the question, why intergenerational faith? You know, God wants faithfulness, but that for there to be that faithfulness, there's going to have to be a unity among God's people. Just as there is going to need to be a unity within your family structure, there is going to be a need to be a unity in the house of God. And this is all over Scripture. Paul would even write this to the Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 10. Listen to the words here. Appeal to you, Paul says, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree with one another. Now that, we don't even do that in our own families. Is that not what we're to strive for? That we all agree with one another in what you say, and that there be, notice, no divisions among you. God does not like me to be divisive. Divisiveness, God is opposed to. He says, I don't want there to be any divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. And so for the purposes of God, we are to be growing in the unity of our lives together, of our minds, and of our thoughts. Because you see, church, when God built the church, or we say God established His church, all along I believe He wanted it to be a community of unity. We are a community of people united together. Go look at the word community. Come, unity. Come together in unity. Community of unity. That's what we are called to. And I personally believe that the best way we're going to reach this generation, this community, and the community out there is through unity. Through our faithfulness together and being united together, I think that's the greatest way for us to influence the generations to come. I love what Helen Keller said. This is a great quote. Alone we can do so little. Isn't that true? Alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. Why intergenerational ministry or church life? A multi-generational church life, because God's desire of us all is faithfulness. Generational faithfulness. Which means that the coming generations are going to need something. And what they're going to need is simply the wondrous works of God. They're going to need the knowledge of God, and not just the knowledge of God, but learning how to put that knowledge into action. That's our challenge, faithfulness. And since their needs are the knowledge of God, you know what else that means? That means you, whatever generation you are, and including myself, needs a knowledge of God. We need to know Him. Because I learned long ago that I can't teach the things really that I don't know, and I can't lead others to places I'm not willing to go. We had our teachers' workshop yesterday. 26 people for a teacher workshop. That was a great turnout. Thank you for supporting that. Michael Whitworth did a great job. We had babysitting. The kids were taken care of. I know that it was geared towards teachers, but anybody, any of you who care about your spiritual growth, your relationship with God through His Word, you would gain something from listening to these lessons. So I know Jen, I recorded them. Jennifer Willenbreck is going to download those. Hopefully this week we'll get those on the website, WindsorChurchOfChrist.com, and you can go back and listen to those. They will help you with your knowledge of God's Word. Study and preparing and how to do that. Because the aim of God's knowledge is generational faithfulness. Someone said, let us teach the law of God to the uprising generation, that they shall regard it as holy, just, and good. a divinely wise and benevolent thing, and shall loyally and heartily seek to comply with its requirements. Our aim is generational faithfulness. This morning, if you're not a part of God's family, the church, we want to help you. Maybe you've received God's word already. You believe in Jesus, that he's the Christ, the Son of God. But you haven't been baptized into the name of Jesus. Acts 2:41 says they received the word and were baptized. The beauty is you could do the same thing today. Become part of this family. Become part of this generational faithfulness, this church family. Helping the generations be faithful to God. Let's stand and let's sing. If we can encourage you, would you come? Have you been to...